This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Now. Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Show your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It is Isaac and Suk. That's our name. Don't wear it out. You remember that?
Butthead.
What up?
That's my name. Don't wear it out. What does that even mean? Don't wear it out. I want you to wear my name out.
Make like a tree. Get out of here.
So we're partying. We're watching Suk's Mets. He's feeling good. They're up 4-0 in the seventh on the Phillies.
Loving the Mets, crapping on the Jets and Robert Saleh and Aaron Rodgers and the Woody Johnson.
Yeah, I saw the odds on Jets' next head coach. Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
Yeah, they said that they're going to give, is it the Ulbrich? They said they're going to give him every opportunity to win the job, which, by the way, don't give the intern the job. Look at Antonio Pierce. Please
are
don't.
You sitting down? Are you ready?
Yeah, what do we got?
Bill Belichick.
Oh, okay.
2-1. Right. He's the odds-on favorite.
Yeah.
We have Mike Vrabel.
Mm-hmm.
5-1.
That's a lot of information, so.
He's out there.
Yeah, but
why would
you hire him?
Did a nice job in Tennessee. I mean.
Yeah, he did. But isn't he another Robert Saleh?
Yeah, it just depends on what you want to. I mean,
Belichick.
Yeah, look, again, how much? None of this matters unless you have to decide, does Aaron Rodgers want to come back to do this again? And can you bring in an offensive coordinator that can modernize their offense?
Okay, so, you might like the next guy then.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson.
See?
6-1.
I would be very, very interested
I can't even imagine
what Ben Johnson could bring. Because if you look at, again, going back to, if you look at what the Lions do and you look at what the Jets do, the Lions are a great example of they make offense easy for their quarterback. And I get the Lions have a bevy of really good players and they have an elite O-line. So that is an easier thing to do. But it's all the more reason why if you're the Jets and you're Aaron Rodgers and you don't have a good O-line, but you do have good skill players, not quite like the Lions, but you've got some guys on the outside, you've got a couple good backs, why do you want to make things harder on yourself? Especially in an era now where defenses are making it more challenging than ever. Watch the Jets play. The best example of this, did you see Van Ginkle, the Minnesota linebacker, had the pick six.
Yeah.
Watch what they do on that. So this is what Brian Flores and what Minnesota's been doing all year. They get you into these third and obvious passing situations, which, by the way, the Jets dropped back 54 times and they ran the ball 14 times. You want to talk about against a team that is the number one team on third down obvious passing situations where Minnesota can bring any kind of look. They're doing things on defense that even when I watch them on film, I'm like, I don't know where the hell that came from. I'm like, oh my God, like the way they're bailing on things. And they're walking up into like a bare front where every offensive lineman is covered. And it's almost impossible to sift through what Minnesota is going to end up in on the snap. And Aaron Rodgers does nothing. There's no shift. There's no motion. You're taking Chinese math quizzes and you're not giving yourself any answers pre-snap. So he snaps the ball and he automatically assumes it's a full-on blitz because everyone's mugged up.
China.
And he goes to throw the little slant, which is 5 years ago how you handle that blitz. And what does Minnesota do? They bail out of it. They end up playing zone. And who's standing right in the passing lane? But Van Ginkle, the Minnesota linebacker, and Aaron Rodgers, I guarantee you went to the sidelines and said, where did that guy come from? Because that's what teams are doing now. And if you're unwilling to run the ball, if you're unwilling to have play action, if you're unwilling to shifts and motions to try to get the defense to tip their hat, this offense will continue to struggle. And I just think Aaron Rodgers is stuck in this, I'm comfortable doing it my way, and at this point in my career, I'm not willing to change. And if that is the case, it doesn't matter who their head coach is. They will be stuck in this. And really, Rodgers, he just doesn't. He doesn't look like he has it anymore.
Well, and Hackett is an enabler.
No, exactly.
Because he's always worked with Rodgers. It's like the only reason he's ever gotten a job.
Exactly.
So would you say they have concepts of a plan then?
I think they have bad concepts of a plan. And this whole thing was kind of built on bad concepts of a plan. You brought in a guy that was supposed to be your savior. And in the NFL, saviors don't exist, with the exception of probably Pat Mahomes and maybe Lamar Jackson. Like, there just isn't saviors. Even guys like Mahomes and Jackson, they need structure. And you just acquiesced and let Aaron Rodgers bring in Lazard and these guys that he wanted. You let him bring in his crappy offensive coordinator. And you kind of let Aaron bully your franchise. And it resulted in a blown Achilles and now an offseason where there was no continuity. And you shoved all your chips in the middle and it's not working. And somehow you ended up firing your defensive coordinator. Who had actually done, well, your defensive minded coach, who had actually done a pretty decent job on the defensive side of the ball. And where you're going from here, I don't know. And also, it's funny that the two names that are being brought up in Vrabel and Belichick, both defensive guys. The Ben Johnson thing is interesting. I just don't know what Aaron Rodgers would think about going to and listening to a young guy that tells him, hey, man, we need to do things differently. And by the way, the last time Aaron Rodgers listened to a guy, remember, he butted heads with and didn't want to play his way, he won two MVPs with Matt LaFleur, who turned out that Matt LaFleur did know what he was doing. So, you know, I just think that Rodgers at this point may be more of a problem than he is a solution.
Well, there are over 50 names on the odds list for next Jets head coach.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Over 50.
Yikes.
Who's got the longest odds?
Well, I'll tell you what. If I'm Ben Johnson, I don't want that job. Because Ben Johnson, with the way the Lions are playing, he'll have his choice. I wouldn't take that job because you're signing up for something that really is, it's probably over, and they're going to try to get Rodgers and that group to hang around for another year or two and try to run it back. Don't do it. Go somewhere where you can build something kind of like what Ryan's has down in Houston. Go someplace where you're going to get a high pick, draft your quarterback. Don't tie your future to Aaron Rodgers and then have to be like, where do we go from here?
So some of the names on the list are Matt Nagy, Joe Brady, Arthur Smith.
Yeah.
Scrolling down, Jim Schwartz, Kellen Moore, Wes Phillips, Greg Roman, Jim Bob Cooter. I mean, everybody's on this list.
Yeah, everybody.
But you asked, who has the longest odds? At 250-1, you have Deion Sanders, Jim Harbaugh, Nick Saban, Rex Ryan, and Tony Romo.
Nice.
But there is one man at 5,000-1. So 250-1 are all those guys I just mentioned. This guy is dead last, but he is on the list. Yeah. 5,000-1, and my God, would I pay all the money in my wallet. Well, I don't have a wallet, and I don't have much money.
Can I guess?
I would pay to see them hire this guy. It would be so funny.
Oh, funny. Okay, interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's absurd.
I was going to say Andy Reid. Because there's no way he's
someone that hates
City,
Rodgers? And
it would be an absolutely absurd hire.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
No, good guess.
That's a good guess.
If you think about it, you might get it.
I'm trying to think of who's like just the...
It would be absolutely absurd.
Mike McCarthy?
Oh, no. God, that'd be amazing. I would pay for that. Mike McCarthy to come back and deal with Rodgers again?
He's not a coach.
He's not. Oh. Elon Musk.
Joe Rogan.
No. He's an old.
He's an old?
Yeah.
Boy, I don't know.
Like an
ayahuasca shaman.
What? So what, Biden's done being president, so you go come be the head coach?
The man who the Jets should hire at 5,000-1 is.
Didn't Larry David say that he could run the Jets offense?
Yeah. Joe Namath.
Oh, nice.
Can you imagine old grunt Joe Namath over there? Heavy guy's face.
That would be amazing. Isn't he like almost 80 years old?
Yeah. That's why he's 5,001.
Someone go hire Urban Meyer. Yeah, it's just, it's.
He's not even on here.
You made the effort, and it didn't work, and this thing is going nowhere fast. But, you know, the GM will be next. If I'm the GM, I whatever I can to go get Davante Adams, go get him because you're fired at the end of the year anyways. You're not making those picks, so you might as well give up whatever capital you got to go get him, and maybe you can that division is very winnable, or at least the playoffs. So go get him and maybe win 9 games.
Next head coach fired. Doug Peterson 1-1.
Oh, it should be Antonio Pierce.
Nick Sirianni 4-1. Kevin Stefanski 6-1. Antonio Pierce way down there at 16-1.
Well, maybe they're too
Taylor isn't up there.
Maybe they're too cheap. Antonio Pierce might be the worst coach in the NFL.
My money would be on Stefanski really getting the next.
I would think
it's going to be the same thing as the Browns.
I thought it'd be Zach Taylor in Cincinnati. That team should be 4-1, and they're 1-4.
Yeah, he's 12-1.
Yeah,
but I think Stefanski is low key on the block because Winston sucks and you can't, and like, you're
again,
stuck.
It's like the Rodgers thing. The you can't fire thing. Him. So,
and they're a bad franchise, just like the Jets, and they'll chase their tail. They always do. And they're panicking.
Tell you what, if Stefanski gets fired and like I'm the Raiders or the Jags, I fire my guy and immediately go get Stefanski. Stefanski's a good coach.
I think so too.
He's just stuck. And by the way, he doesn't want to play Deshaun Watson. Ownership won't let him bench him. So Stefanski is not the problem there in Cleveland. But like the interim thing, like Antonio Pierce is such a I don't know how much you've seen of the Raiders. That is slowly becoming a mudslide of galactic proportions, and there's no coming back from it. Top to bottom, that thing, when the end of the year and we look around and say, who's the worst team in the NFL, I think we might be pointing at the Raiders.
All right, our NFL Week 5 ankle biter is next. We will wrap up the week that was in the National Football League when we return on The Fan. Well, now the Mets are just showing off. They're up 7-0.
Going into the 8th.
On the Phillies.
Is it okay to take a victory lap yet, or don't? Yeah, no.
I would.
I'm not.
Yeah, you're fine.
I'm not.
I'm telling you, I was taking victory laps yesterday. The Royals were up 4-1. Yankees weren't coming back.
I don't think they're coming back, but at the same time, I don't feel comfortable yet. Let's get into the 9th, and then I'll cocky sniff.
There's a topic there because I'm already seeing Philly fans bitching about their lineup.
Yeah.
There's an element to discuss of why some of these teams are built with nothing but mashers.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times we have to see the mashers fail in the postseason before these GMs start realizing. If you look at the teams that win, look at the Giants when they won. I'm bringing them up because Buckley's right over there, and he'll probably be butthurt if I don't. Mm. My Royals, 2015.
Now you just opened the door for Suk to insult me.
Well, that's what I do. The Diamondbacks last year, no, they didn't win it. But yeah. I'm just saying, like, look at the teams that make runs. Like, look at what the Mets are doing. Mm-hmm. 1-9, they may not have stars at every level of the lineup, but they mix in contact guys. They have guys like Iglesias is a great example. You just picked up Iglesias. Yep. He just hit a 3-run double. That guy can't be stopped. He's hitting like 320, but he's, you know, I mean, you could technically call him a punch and Judy. You're not going to hit a home run.
Yeah.
But you have to have guys like that in your lineup to get on base, to annoy pitchers, to steal bases,
work counts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And these teams like the Phillies, and I think the Yankees are kind of like this, they just don't mix those guys in. And their lineups, when you're pitching to them, you look at their lineup and you go, well, another out.
If you can get by them, you know. I mean,
Well, it's like, dude, when Giancarlo Stanton comes up to the plate as a Royals fan, I laugh. Like, this is great. Keep throwing him out there.
Bring it.
Yeah. Wait, he's up? Perfect. you know, and you don't want that. What you want is you want guys, they don't have to be big names like Stanton, but you want guys that are tough outs.
Yeah.
That annoy you. Yeah. The Padres have this. They signed Arise, or they traded for Arise. They added Bogarts. They have this kid, Jackson Merrill,
they're
who's mashing. They're all tough outs. Yeah.
Up I'll see and down if I can find line. It. Will Clark talked about this the other day. It was a clip that was going viral. Yeah. Suk might have seen it.
Yeah,
but basically,
I saw it.
He's like, you know, all these guys out here who don't shorten up and try to like put the ball in play play with two strikes, and they all hit 230, and they've got about 15 dingers to show for it.
Yeah, he said,
like,
he said,
need to go hit singles.
Yeah, he said, in my day, if you were hitting 230, you got your ass sent down.
That's right.
And by the way, I did see that clip going around, and I went and looked it up, and there was a year. And, you know, some of this is kind of old man baseball, because obviously so much of baseball now has been predicated on people have figured it out. It's just, you know, it's home runs and strikeouts, right? We're elevating the ball. But I went and looked because, you know, Will Clark was talking about some of his lineups. He did have a year where I think seven guys were hitting above 260 on one of his Giants teams. And I was like, you don't see that.
Well, batting average is at an all-time low.
Yes.
But
some of that is specialty and bullpen and all that. But
I think that if you look at the teams that really do go deep, they're not built that way.
Yeah. There is something to be said for, and we say this all the time, and sometimes it's getting hot at the right time. Every team that makes a run or wins a World Series has two or three guys that you don't really hear much of, but end up playing big roles because they end up with big hits.
All right. Where were we?
I don't know. I was busy celebrating a potential ankle biter? Mets 2-1.
Oh, we got the ankle biter.
Series win. Yeah, the ankle biter.
Yeah, I was actually looking up.
I'm done crapping on the Jets now, I promise.
I've been distracted. So I'm going back to the 08 Phillies, the last time the Phillies won it.
Yeah.
Actually won it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at their lineup, and I want to see if they mixed in. So they had guys like, guys like Shane Victorino.
Mm-hmm. The Flying Hawaiian.
Chase Utley. Rollins. That was
more
only,
tough outs.
Yeah, they're just tougher hitters.
And like, they had some pop, those guys, too. Yeah, but
they
still.
Did. They had the Ryan Howards of the world and Pat Burrells, but their team was those guys, Jason Worth, and guys like that. And that's what I was going to say. I wanted to call myself out and say, hey, well, the Phillies did it in 08 because they had a group of matches, but they really didn't.
Yeah.
Utley and Rollins weren't, I mean, they could hit home runs, but those guys were just good hitters.
Well, look, I get where you're coming from, but if I told you going into the series that I wasn't terrified of the Phillies lineup because they got some dudes that can hit, you know, I'd be lying. It's a good lineup, but you're right. I mean,
we've seen
good lineups fail,
and Sean Manaea is looking like Cy Young out there.
Yeah, and Seve, with the exception of the two pitches, was doing the same thing. He was dealing. Yeah. The Mets pitching has been fantastic in this series, minus the, you know.
Well, like I said.
That one inning for Seve.
You need guys that can shorten up and get on base.
Yes.
Phillies don't really have that.
It is shocking to me how many times in 2 and 3 run games where guys with no one on are swinging from their shoes.
Yep.
That is one that I am fully, I do not understand. It's like, dude, just, I mean, even the game against the Padres, right? Or not the Padres, but the Brewers, when they were going into the ninth down by two, and that was like the Frankie Lindor thing. Just get on base, right? Lindor ends up working a deep count, gets a walk, and then I think there was a strikeout. Vanto struck out, and then Nimmo shortened up, got on, and it wasn't just a little single to the outfield, and then it brought up Alonso. Then at that point, you're like, sure, swing for the shoes, but everyone before that, right, was just trying to get on base. And you're like, dude, if we just get on and then give Pete the chance, and not everyone can be Pete Alonso and hit 220. Like you said, you kind of have to space him throughout the lineup.
Got
to
manufacture runs in the postseason, man.
Yep.
All right.
And someone brought up like the Orioles. That happened to them.
Yeah.
Right? Just a bunch of guys swinging from their shoes, and they ended up going home.
They were such easy outs.
They were terrible.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
Braves, too. Did you say them, Braves?
The Royals won that series scoring, Braves. What,
I mean, runs? Matt Olson, Marcelo Ozuna, those guys were swinging out of their shoes, and they couldn't do anything.
Olson, Ozuna, I'm trying to think of the other guy. Riley was hurt.
Well,
they usually have Acuna, and he was hurt.
Right. So. Albies
is pretty good. I mean, if fully healthy, that lineup's dangerous, but I see what you're saying about some of them. They had Soler. He's one of those guys that just swings for the fifth. Anyway, wrapping up NFL Week 5. Rookie quarterbacks now 8-1 since week 3.
Well, and
they're all three improving, and now we're going to get Drake May.
See, that's a big mistake, by the way. Drake May is going to die. The O-line, that offense, they're going to set him back. Jaden Daniels continues to impress. I still think there's going to be a reckoning there with that Cliff Kingsbury offense, but he is playing so good right now. And quietly, every week when you look at the numbers, Caleb Williams has improved every single week, and he finally had his breakout game. I know, you know, bad team, but you are seeing a nice progression in Caleb Williams. It's just overshadowed because the in Washington, you know, you've got someone that's having CJ Stroud level performance as a rookie. And the weird thing about Washington, he's doing it with not a great O-line. Their run game has been very effective, and it shouldn't be. And he's doing it with one receiver. What's happening in Washington, I actually think is a bigger surprise than what's happening in Minnesota. I mean, it's the two best stories in the NFL right now, and a lot of that is coaching. But I'm going with a nod to what's happening in Washington is a little more scratch my head, what the hell is happening.
Yeah, it's objectively hilarious to me that Dan Snyder is history and suddenly Washington has a quarterback. I think that's hilarious.
He's playing so
he's great.
So good.
He
right
really
now.
Is. Yeah. If you're not watching him, he just seems, I don't know, he just seems so in control.
Yeah, nothing's rattling him.
And Kingsbury has a good offense going. I mean, that's they're fun to watch.
Yep.
9 1-score finishes in the NFL this week.
Yeah.
9.
Well,
and technically a 10th with the Giants Seahawks, but that. Yeah, it ended up being a 2-score game. But.
That Ravens Cincy game, one of the better football games. Because a lot of times, I'm mainly a red zone guy. And then if there's a game that I want to watch, I'll focus in on it. And that was maybe my favorite game I've watched all year. That was great. That was two quarterbacks at their best throwing haymakers. And Lamar was a little bit better, even though he was dropping snaps and trying to give the game away. Cincinnati. Can someone explain to me the idea of a 52-yard field goal and then you just being like, we don't need to do anything. We'll just attempt to kick a 52-yard field goal?
Coaching malpractice. They had 3rd and 7 and they had a 50-yarder coming up.
52.
And they're like, we're good. We'll just run it.
Yeah,
you have Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase. What are you doing?
And I get Burrow through the one pick, but Joe Burrow was dealing. I mean, absolutely dealing. And you got into that and thought to yourself, snaps 1, 2, and 3. We're just going to run. I mean, Zach Taylor said it. We're going to run the ball 3 times. They were afraid of taking a sack and getting out of field goal range after the Ravens gifted you the ball.
How about move the ball? You've already put up 38 points. Put up some more.
That's every now and then, even good coaches, they do things that I try to wrap my head around and I can't. I give you the Cincinnati Bengals, who are now 1-4, by the way.
All right, in the news is coming up next. One local woman realizes Big Sook's dream.
Why can't it be me?
Do you know what that is?
Oh, I know what it is.
She friends with raccoons?
You'll find out.
We'll see.
Whoa.
Here's Buckley.
Now, from the Fan Sports Desk, a SportsCenter update on 1080 The Fan.
Ryan Buckley with this SportsCenter update. First on The Fan, playoff baseball in the National League today. The Mets and Phillies playing Game 3 right now. Currently a 6-0 Mets lead in the top of the 8th inning. Home runs from Pete Alonso and Jesse Winker for New York. Coming up just after 6 o'clock, Game 3 between the Dodgers and Padres in San Diego. L.A. will send Walker Buehler to the hill. Michael King takes the mound for the Friars. That series is tied 1 game apiece. In the NFL, first head coach firing of the season is here as the Jets have relieved head coach Robert Saleh of his head coaching duties. Reports indicate Saleh was planning to demote offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett today, but was terminated before he could make any personnel changes. Meanwhile, in New England, a change at quarterback as rookie Drake May will take over as signal caller there. The puck dropped on a new NHL season today for the Seattle Kraken. They took a 2-0 lead into the second intermission, but they fell 3-2 to the St. Louis Blues. More sports scores and stories in 30 minutes. I'm Ryan Buckley at the 1080 The Fan Sports Desk. Listen live or on demand on the Odyssey app, the Fan's desktop player, or tell your smart speaker to play 1080 The Fan.
The Fan is live on YouTube and Twitch, and now Window Nation brings you on-demand videos. Watch Window Nation's Window into 1080 The Fan.
Well, nobody really likes attorneys. Sorry, attorneys out there.
My dad's an attorney.
Yeah, well, we don't like him. Most certainly him. And, you know, look, I know some attorneys, and I got to be honest, I don't really like them.
I always feel like there's a little something shady going on.
Well, they're just smart, you know, and they know how to argue, and it's tough.
Problem is
I wouldn't want to do a show with an attorney.
No.
You know?
The problem is that when you actually need one, and you don't want to hire one, the other side, they hire one.
And that's what makes them great.
That's what makes them great.
Oh, now you got a high-powered attorney on your side. You're like,
so
I'm going to win.
If you've been injured in an accident, whether that's at home, work, whatever, and you're just like, well, I'll just deal with the insurance company. Trust me, that insurance company has attorneys, and their entire job is to pay you as little as possible, be as nice to you as possible, and get you to take a few crumbs and get you to go away. And that's where we say nay.
Yeah, their attorneys are a-holes.
Yes.
But our attorneys are great.
Yeah. And great drinkers, by the way, too.
Don and Kenny.
Good people.
But you just don't want to mess with them. That's the thing. It's like, this is why we don't like attorneys. It's like, you don't mess with them.
Yeah.
You don't back baby in a corner.
No, no, you don't.
And I tell you,
no one puts Donnegan in a corner.
I don't know who would be tougher in a corner. Probably Donnie.
Probably.
She's a...
Yeah. I think she fights dirty.
Yeah. That's right.
I'm a little scared.
Yeah.
Ken's a Utah man. He feels like more of an upstanding sort of fella.
Yeah. They're great. Don and Kenny, look, if you need an injury attorney, the Advocates is who you want to call. They don't get paid until you win. If you've been injured, you need more than a lawyer. You deserve an advocate, and these guys will be your advocate. Take it from us. Put them in your phone. You can get their number or check out their faces or, I don't know, read about them at advocateslaw.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That's right. Primetime with Isaac and Suk. And this is 1080 The Fan. It is October 8, 2024. It's time now for In the News. I am your noted and humble newsman.
Bro.
It is brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com.
It's almost like we just talked about those guys.
Which would you like to celebrate today? Would you like to celebrate lesbians, salmon, or octopus? Pick two.
Black basketball playing lesbians.
Okay.
Yeah. If I had to rank them, I'm going lesbians one.
Okay.
The octopi two.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. Of the fishes.
Salmon third.
I'm more of a whitefish guy.
Okay.
So, shocker. I like the whites. So, I'm going lesbians, octopus, salmon. That's my power rankings.
Then I will give you that it is International Lesbian Day.
Well, then shout out to the power lesbians, my neighbors, who are wonderful people. Kudos to you.
And of
course, you can also get the power snatch. Really? We got to go there.
Yeah!
Portland, one of the greatest cities in the world for lesbians.
Hey, what about Vancouver?
Portland, one of the greatest cities in the world for lesbians.
Well, I told you that there is it's a great setup because my two neighbors, the power lesbians, I told you, kitty corner across the intersection is non-lesbians that are very, very unhappy that the lesbians have moved into the neighborhood. And they're very angry and they often put up signs that are very much directed towards the lesbians. And it's hilarious because they somehow think they're in their kitchen and all they do is make my neighbors, they think it's fantastic. They just laugh their asses off.
It is also World Octopus Day.
You know, the octopus is very smart. I'm pro octopus. It actually makes me not want to eat octopus.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You know, the calamari, I feel bad because the octopus is so smart.
I have no problem eating octopus, but yes, they are a great animal.
It's like... It's like eating, they're eating the dogs. Like the octopus is very smart. It's intelligent.
They're eating the dogs.
I don't like it.
They're eating the cats.
The documentary.
The pets of the people that live there.
What was that movie?
The dogs.
What are you talking about?
My octopus teacher.
Octopus teacher. The Netflix doc.
Good movie.
It made me.
Until it seemed like he might have done stuff with the octopus.
Oh, he had sex with that octopus. But it made me not want to eat octopus. I felt bad. I feel bad now eating it.
Well, today, celebrate the octopi.
They're eating the pets.
A woman in Poulsbo, Washington, called for help after dozens of raccoons showed up at her house demanding food on October 3rd.
It's ridiculous. She's calling for help. Send them to my house. That is my dream, is to just open my back porch and have an army of raccoons being like, what's up?
I lived out a little Souk dream over the weekend. We went to the coast for a night in Seaside, and my wife was outside in the hot tub when a family of four raccoons popped up on the corner fence and wanted to come hang out.
Yeah. Why doesn't this happen to me?
Oh, by the way, we're being corrected. What? Calamari is
squid, right?
Yeah.
Squid.
That's squid, but
not octopus.
No, the whenever we go to Japan, we do the octopus balls, the
takoyaki,
which is delightful, but now I feel bad.
Deputy said the woman had been feeding the raccoons for nearly four decades. However, the woman told law enforcement the raccoons became more demanding just a few weeks ago.
They're not putting up with your sass.
How about that? Look, how about that? The uprising.
I love it. I love it.
They're finally getting cocky.
I see these videos where someone says they like feed a raccoon or two, and then they go out one day and there's just a sea of them. Why? I try to feed the raccoons every day, and yet they won't come anywhere near the house.
Did you see what it would cost? So she... Whoa.
You all right?
Well, I got some issues on my screen here. One second. She was looking into the idea of having somebody come out and remove them. There were like over 100 of them.
Yeah, it's a pretty
awesome. Dude, that's crazy. Have you seen the video of it?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
I know.
They're everywhere.
I don't know if it's 100. I mean, the video, I would say it was more like 25, but...
Well, she was quoted $500 per raccoon in order to trap and relocate them. And with an estimated 100 raccoons, that would put her total at least $50,000.
I love when she called the cops, and the cops were like, as far as we know, the raccoons have done nothing wrong. Okay, sorry, I got a little nervous there in the eighth.
Well, it's really her own fault. Stop feeding the raccoons.
Well, and again...
You get what you... You reap what you sow.
But that's not true, because if that was the case, there'd be 100 raccoons in my backyard, and they're not.
Are you feeding them?
Yes.
They'll be there soon.
I've been feeding them for years. And here's the thing. If you'd like to get rid of raccoons, get an Akita. I promise you, they'll come nowhere near your yard.
Well, look, she's been feeding them for 40 years, and they only just now showed up in groves.
Yeah. I've put in, like...
I don't know what that is.
I put in like 4 years of work. I even put a little like ledge up in the tree where I put little tidbits for the raccoons.
Well, you're going to need about, apparently you need about 35 more years before they finally get fed up and bring the whole army.
Do they just show up? Can you imagine if I just came down one morning or one evening, turned on the back porch light, and there was just like 30 raccoons? I would just...
What would you do?
I would party.
What does that mean?
I think I would just go get treats, and I would sit out there, and I'd smoke a cigar and feed raccoons. And then, like, we would... Operation Best Friend would finally come to fruition. Like, it's all I want, is to sit out at my fire and feed raccoons.
They might scratch you up.
That's all right.
Or eat your face.
Mm. Oh, I'm hurt.
Kind of want to see what would happen if I unleashed the Akita in the backyard. Do they just...
If he had 30 to go after?
Do they just mob him?
No, I don't think they mob him. I think
they're eating the dogs.
I think they throw their weakest at him. Like, here, take Pete. He sucks.
We'll execute the baby.
Is it possible that there's like one little raccoon that gets left behind, and that's the one that I adopt and raise as my own?
It is possible.
Look.
Well, dare to dream, Jason.
Part of my sick, weird fantasy is that one day, like, there'll be a sickly baby raccoon that mama abandons in my backyard, and then I'm forced to nurse it back to health, and then it becomes my best friend.
I am deciding against the woman stuffed in a suitcase story.
Oh, really? We're
not
doing that?
I just told you that story.
Yeah. Why not?
Did you see the... there was a decapitated Mexican... He was a mayor, perhaps?
Wow.
Anyways, that was going on down south of the border.
He got his... Where's his... What?
He went missing, and then they found his head 6 days later on his car.
Oh,
on his car.
It was like a flex from whoever did it. Like, hey, yeah, no, just in case you're wondering, Jesus. He didn't just walk off.
Boy, that's a little...
Well, okay, I'll tell you this.
It's a little rough.
Since Buckley's just going to talk about severed heads.
Yeah, what do we got?
In Seattle, they were there was like this pile of trash by this homeless camp,
mm-hmm.
and it had been there for like a year.
Yeah.
And this woman had been missing for like a year.
Yeah.
And so something happened. I don't remember what it was. That occurred Maybe there was an arrest over there or somebody got unruly and they finally took a look at the pile of trash. Yeah. And there was a suitcase in the pile of trash. She was in the suitcase.
That's not good. It's not good.
Just
it'd been there the entire time.
Sitting in there.
Mm. What did that smell like?
And she said, finally.
She just pops out of there. She's hey, like, everybody. Cat. About time someone opened that up. Well, I mean, you look at those homeless camps. I mean, is it weird to think that that happens probably more than you realize?
No, but no. I don't know. The suitcase thing adds a layer that...
Well, then we have one in Portland where someone tried to get rid of a body, one of the homeless people, by burning it. Just on in his homeless trash fire, he just thought he could get rid of a body. Turns out...
That was in Beaverton, yeah.
It turns out not a good idea.
Why not?
Doesn't work that way.
Well, it can.
No, it can't. Can't burn bones. That doesn't work. Nah. You know, people fail to realize that. When they cremate you, after they burn you, they crush your bones. You know, the bones don't burn up. Not the way it works.
Good advice.
Yeah, just tip.
We have a new hero amongst us, Jason. And his name, or maybe her.
Yeah.
Is Jackie. Mm. That story next on The Fan.
What is Colorado Rockies?
Hello and welcome back to our show. This is In the News, October 8, 2024. Time for one more story, and it is an uplifting one.
We need it after the...
The suitcase story.
Suitcase story. Burning homeless people.
Although I was thinking about this during the break. It really is a thing. Like, if... So the woman was in the suitcase for like a year.
True.
At this homeless camp. It is a thing that anyone outside of that's what they do for a living...
Yeah.
We will not touch or go near those homeless encampments.
Zero chance.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it is so off-putting to us.
Anything could be happening there. We'd have no
idea. Yeah, and we're just like, look, exactly. Yep. That's what I'm saying. Like, so, you know, if they would just mind their P's and Q's, how long would she have been? I mean, she was in there for a year.
A long time, man. Unless you were coming in and doing a full-on sweep.
That's what I mean.
And I don't know how often those happen. And even when you do the full-on sweep, I'm guessing you just come in with with big, trash compactors and sweep everything up. You may never find that.
And the next question is what would it take to get you to go, to go into one of those and just lay down and have a nap?
Zero chance.
Have a nap?
You know?
I ride by one. You know what I'm saying? All the time. And I don't even think it's one of the worst ones. If you want a bad one, like when I ride out on my bike out to, what's the little park out there in St. John's? I forget, but I'll ride out
there. Cathedral Park?
Yeah, yeah. And I have to run under a couple overpasses, and those are, it's like another world down there. I just risk riding through that in the day. I don't like it. It takes me maybe 30 seconds to ride through that thing. You're telling me I got to stop and hang out there? No, man. That ain't happening. A serious amount of trash. Although, in all honesty, it's probably not as scary or as you think.
Yeah.
You'd probably be fine.
That's right. That's kind of what I'm getting at is that, like,
it's probably fear-mongering.
I'm sure it's fine.
But
it's gross. It seems gross. But I tell you what, you cannot get it. No. I mean, people are... it's like they are not touching any of that stuff.
No.
To save their life.
I mean, the smell alone, just as you ride through, is enough to just say, stay away. And that's the thing is, like, a rotting body for a year.
Yeah.
I know
it just
that's.
Blends
a,
in.
It just blends in. It just blends in.
A Portland canine officer has been named one of the country's most heroic dogs.
Hey! Oh, I love that.
Jackie is a 6-year-old German short-haired pointer. And. I'm trying to figure out if Jackie. I think. Is Jackie a male?
I don't know.
I can't tell. It's J-A-C-K-Y.
Yeah.
So it might be a boy. I don't know. Semi-finalist for an American Humane 2024 Hero Dog Award in the Law Enforcement and First Responders category.
She is a semi-finalist for the award.
She?
She. She's a bitch.
How do you know that? It doesn't say that on here.
It says right here.
Says it on your story?
Jackie is a 6-year-old German Shepherd, short-haired pointer. She is a semifinalist for the American Humane Society here at Delaware. So again, Jackie, she's a bitch.
Maybe she's a them.
Girl, you something else.
Them, they, dog.
Yeah, we respect her privacy. Good-looking pup, though.
Yeah, but she doesn't look like a She's an interesting dog. She doesn't look like a police dog.
She just sniffs out danger.
Yeah, but she just doesn't. That's not what you normally see when you see the popo.
No, when we think of dogs, we think of chopper sick balls. Whereas a lot of them are just there to sniff out the trouble.
Yeah,
yeah.
This says she's not your typical police dog, so I think it helps with a lot of the community engagement with TriMet. When we're on trains, people are constantly coming up to us. What is she? What is she doing? Yeah. I've never seen a police dog like this, said Officer Barry. Jackie and her talented nose, there we go, talented nose, have also helped protect major sporting events like the Super Bowl, the Olympic Trials in Eugene, and Major League Baseball's All-Star Game.
When she's not on duty, she likes to play fetch outdoors.
Way of course go, she does.
Can I say, I wouldn't want one because they're just really high energy. You got to have a real active lifestyle. But the German pointers, those are beautiful dogs. Those are really, really like sharp-looking pups. But you got to... Those have to have like jobs and missions, and they're very focused.
What if it said when she's not on duty, she likes smoking cigarettes and drinking...
Then maybe
expensive bottles of red wine.
Then maybe Jackie would be my kind of gal. Let's go, Jackie. Sit on down and let's do it.
She likes feeding raccoons out on her deck.
They're eating the dogs.
Dogs.
That's awesome. I don't know how. I don't know how you win Hero Dog of the Year, but
yeah.
I'll cast my vote for Jackie.
That's here in the news for October 8, 2024.
I was going to say, isn't every police dog, if you ask that police department, saying that their dog is the best dog?
I don't think they are.
No?
No.
I think there's a couple that are like, oh,
I think there's a couple of like, this dog sucks.
You don't want this.
There's an old adage, everyone thinks their dog is the best and everyone is right.
Well, yeah. Unless but I mean, that's another level.
Unless you have a Labrador.
I knew that was coming. I walked right into that one.
Then you know that your dog is not the best.
And by the way, my dog, I do not think my dog is the best.
No.
We love her, but there are a lot of households that would punt her straight to the street. And I think that's why she was a street dog.
Yeah. I've had some dogs that I can admit are not the best dogs.
And she's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
But she's funny.
Yeah.
And we love her.
Yeah.
And she's smart. Yeah. But buckle up.
Yeah. Molly Tenges.
Molly Tenges. All right, coming up next, it is Hot 5 at 5 time. I've got sports news on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.